You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education podcast special, brought to you from a very busy THE newsroom as the results of the Teaching Excellence Framework make their way to universities across the country. It's sending shockwaves through the sector. The initial announcement was postponed following the hung parliament, but now universities know for sure whether they've been rated gold, silver or bronze in this government stamped exercise. My name's Chris Parr. I'm joined by THE editor John Gill, news editor Chris Havergal, student content editor Sita Bardwa, and reporter Jack Grove. John, to you first, just how big a day is this for UK higher education?
Very, very big. It is huge. It's enormous. I'm tempted to invoke John Lennon and say it's bigger than Jesus, but that might be slightly overstating it.
We'll get letters.
But this is a seriously red letter day for universities. We've been waiting an awfully long time for the results of the TEF. There's been an absolutely extraordinary amount of debate about the ins and outs, the rights and wrongs, the detail. But you know, TEF has happened. The results are out. There's a very clear delineation between gold, silver, bronze, and it's becoming very, very clear that the hierarchy that we've all become very familiar with through all the usual league tables, including our own, of course, but obviously the domestic league tables being particularly relevant here, have been very much disrupted, which, of course, is what you'd expect, because the entire point of the TEF is to, as far as Joe Johnson, the university's minister, is concerned, is to hold dragging feet to the fire and to try and force universities that, in his view, haven't taken teaching as seriously as they should to do so. So we see some really startling examples of Russell Group universities being in the bronze category. Certainly less than half of the Russell Group achieve gold. We see some really strong achievers from, you know, former Polys and the like up there in the gold category. So this is a really dramatic day for universities in the UK. What remains to be seen now, of course, is what impact this new badging system actually has, particularly in terms of student demand. The proof will be in the pudding on that, but it's a massive day.
Yeah, Chris, a massive day. And some of the most prestigious universities in the country probably not having a particularly good day. Let's dig into some of the names who perhaps have underperformed compared to what a lot of people were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious place to start is with the Russell Group, which, you know, partly through its own marketing, has styled itself as an elite of UK higher education. When you look at the TEF results, that's nowhere near as clear. In terms of particular institutions, there are three Russell Group institutions which find themselves in the bronze category. Those are the London School of Economics, Southampton and Liverpool. LSE, among sector observers, have perhaps been rumoured for a while as an institution which would struggle. Across the TEF, institutions based in London have tended to underperform a little. That's perhaps linked to the inclusion of National Student Survey metrics in there, but certainly perhaps a surprise to see Southampton in there as well. Of course, there are some Russell Group members that get gold, eight of them. Cambridge and Oxford are in there, and six more. But they have some unfamiliar company in that gold category, sort of post-92 institutions and campus-based universities. The likes of Bangor, Derby, Northampton, Coventry and Portsmouth rubbing shoulders with their much more, their older and more highly esteemed peers. To mention a few other names, there's some other well-known London institutions which struggle and end up in the bronze category. The likes of SOAS, Goldsmiths and St George's, the medical school. Meanwhile, silver, nearly half of the Russell Group members who entered end up in the silver category, the likes of Durham, UCL and Bristol in there.
Yeah. You alluded to London there indeed. 12 of the 25 bronze higher education institutions are in fact based in the capital, so not a great day for London. But Jack, you've been gathering some response from some of those people, some of those universities just mentioned, and the sector more generally. What's the sort of feeling on the ground as these results come through?
Well, obviously lots of vice-chancellors are very happy to be named gold. This is their sort of day in the sun. They're not used to sort of being up there in the top of these lists normally. Others are absolutely furious. Chris Snowden, who's the head of the University of Surrey, but one of the sort of big beasts.
Southampton.
Southampton, previously of Surrey. He's sort of a former University UK head. He's absolutely astounded by the fact that they've got a bronze. He says it's sort of totally unfair. He says if you look at their metrics, they exceed quite a lot of the people who are in the gold categories, even people, you know, people who you could compare them against, sort of Exeter, you know, Russell Group peers. They say they do better than them, but somehow they're on the bronze and other people are in the gold. And then you might say, well, it's not just based on metrics, it's based on this 15-page narrative statement about teaching. But Chris Nolan says, well, the feedback we got from that is sort of almost sort of it's a near universally positive statement. So where is this result coming from?
Mm.
And there's going to be a lot of attention around the benchmarking, which some people might say is a bit arbitrary and makes it almost impossible for some universities to outperform what are already very high benchmarks.
Mm. And I should say all of this coverage, the results, the analysis, response there that Jack's talking about, is available at timeshighereducation.com/TEF. That will take you through to our TEF landing page where all of those stories are covered. John mentioned at the top of the podcast that a lot of the proof of the pudding for the TEF will be how it's received by students. Sita, you've been taking a look at some of the results. What is the student take on this? Is it just another ranking, or is this a particularly significant tool for students when choosing universities?
I think at the moment we can only really say that it's just another resource for students to help them choose where to go to university in England. It can be used alongside all the other resources that are available, including the Times Higher Education Rankings portfolios. But the main difference is that it is focused on teaching rather than research, which students might find more useful. But I think we should just monitor how students are responding to the TEF and see how the TEF develops in the future, in particular if it starts to become linked to tuition fees or if they start to narrow it down even further.
Indeed, yeah.
I think there's a question there about the trustworthiness of the grades that are being dished out as well. Will students consider this to be a fair and accurate measure of teaching quality? Is an institution-wide grading actually sufficient for teaching, which actually anyone who's ever been taught anything knows comes down to the individual? Can you grade a whole institution, good, bad or indifferent, at teaching? Is that realistic? And then, of course, there are even greater concerns about the potential for the TEF to develop into a subject-level TEF, because that instantly has real implications for the whole viability of certain disciplines and courses within certain types of institutions. So a lot of questions there. One thing I'd add is I think if you think about the international perspective here, it will be absolutely extraordinary, I think, to people in, say, India or China or some of these countries that send students over to study in the UK at great expense, for them to be reading a government-sponsored exercise saying that the LSE, which of course is one of our leading lights internationally, is one of the worst institutions for teaching according to this grading. I mean, that really does start to massively disrupt international perceptions. The LSE is one of the jewels in the UK's higher education crown internationally. And here we are saying that actually, you know, that shining diamond might actually be costume jewellery rather than something more valuable. I mean, it's a really dramatic statement to the world, which I
spoke to a French university head last week and said that LSE might be in there, and he thought that was an absolute joke. He said that is just ludicrous. And he actually said also he thought France was sort of very centralised and controlling in terms of government. This, having effectively, which looks very much like a government sort of ranking, even though it's done by an independent panel, that's quite a big step, really.
And yet, other countries will be looking at this exercise and are planning on taking inspiration from it and possibly rolling out their own versions. Does it discredit the TEF to have some of the what you might call less prestigious universities alongside Oxbridge, while some very, very well-known and very famous institutions are languishing with the lowest possible score? Well, is that a reason to not trust it?
Well, there would have been no point doing it if it had just produced a hierarchy that looked pretty much the same as the one that most people have in their mind. the UK government and the universities minister in particular, you know, clearly think that in an age where students are paying in excess of £9,000 tuition fees if they're home-based, much more if they're overseas, that they're not getting the standards of teaching that they should for that money, at least at some institutions. So, you know, the intention clearly is to provide a shock to the system and to those institutions which, on these metrics at least, aren't performing the strongest, you know, to make them up their game. The question is whether they actually up their game in a way that genuinely improves educational standards at the institution, or whether they actually try to up their game by just ruthlessly targeting these metrics that are behind the TEF, and that could actually have a very different impact on teaching standards at the end of the day.
And I think just to pick up on that, I think that's exactly the point. But if you pick the example of the LSE. Now, we know that the LSE has a couple of very specific things that mean it does badly in some of these metrics we're looking at. Student satisfaction, for example. We know that London institutions suffer on NSS scores. We also know that an institution like the LSE, which has a very, very high proportion of international students, I think certainly over 50% coming in from international at the undergraduate level, struggle on student satisfaction. Now, that may be for any number of reasons. Is it down to teaching quality? Debatable. And I think that's ultimately where the real questions lie. Is this a legitimate, I think we all accept that you can't measure there's no perfect measure of teaching quality, but is this collection of metrics plus the qualitative stuff enough of a, you know, a close enough match to teaching quality to merit the name, or is it actually measuring something completely different?
Yeah, and when you see, we haven't got them on our list, but you see FE colleges in there as well. You know, you have the Plumpton College, which is famous for its winemaking being assessed alongside the LSE in Oxford, and you see them on the same list. You do maybe wonder if it's, what students will draw from it.
Nothing against Plumpton College.
Well, it's not, we all like your class. You'll be able to access, as I said, all of those results and analysis on timeshighereducation.com/TEF. We've got loads more on there besides. We have TEF Chair Chris Husband's writing. We have a detailed analysis of the results. We've got Sir Anthony Seldon giving his thoughts. A real sort of goldmine of analysis, news and response. So do head along to that URL and you'll get it all there. And if you want to comment on anything that we've discussed or have your say on the TEF, you can do so on our website. You can also find us on Facebook, on Twitter and on LinkedIn. Please do get involved. But timeshighereducation.com/TEF is where you need to head for more on the publication of the Teaching Excellence Framework.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.